Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for another gathering in the house of the Lord. Every time we have an opportunity to fellowship one with another, and you have a chance to speak to us, and we have a chance to hear your word, we know that our hearts are always blessed. And we give you the praise and glory, Lord, today. Let your name be glorified and encourage our hearts as we wait for the coming of the Lord. Blessed be thy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to be starting a series. So today I'm going to just do a little bit of an introduction because the time is far spent. But I'm going to be going into a series that has to do with the end of time because we are right there. And this is the time that we should know these things. And we want to make sure that we are all caught up. So we're going to be using the book of Revelation as a springboard, but you know, we can branch off to the book of Daniel, to the book of Matthew, to the book of Luke, and to many other places in the Bible as we prepare for the coming of the Lord. The coming of the Lord is so close now, you know, and whether we know it, recognize it or not, it's right there. Remember, the Bible says, as it was in the days of Lot, you know, people were just carrying on. Many people were not aware of what was happening, but it was happening nonetheless. Amen. Amen. You know, so just because we are not aware, that doesn't mean that it's not happening. And we should be aware anyway. The day should not take us unawares. So I'm going to give a very brief introduction today on what God wants us to have for the end of the age, how to understand Bible prophecy. But today I want to talk about the showbread and the hidden manna. So the showbread and the hidden manna. And this will be an introduction to the series that we're going into. Now, in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 29, and verse 29, you know, here's what we read. Deuteronomy 29 and verse 29. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Amen. So the things that God has kept to himself, that's his business. But if he reveals stuff, then we better know about those things. Now, also in the book of Proverbs, turn with me quickly to Proverbs chapter 25. Proverbs 25 and verse 2. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but it is the honor of kings to search out a matter. Amen. So even things that are concealed, sometimes we can search them out, you know, because God wants us to search. You know, when we search, then he will give us even more, you know, and so forth. So, but I want to talk about the showbread and the hidden manna. Now, let me take a quick text from, and of course, you know, the story comes from the Old Testament, but I'm going to take my text from Hebrews chapter 9. In Hebrews chapter 9, let me just read the first five verses. You know, so we'll talk about the showbread and the hidden manna. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 1. Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made. Now, this is the tabernacle that Moses pitched. And there were various compartments. There was the outer court. And then there was, you know, as you go through and so on. You know, so there was a tabernacle made, the first, wherein was the candlestick, the table, the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. So the first tabernacle is called the sanctuary. Now, what are the things? Now, this is more like a teaching, you know, rather than a preaching. So, you know, I may ask questions just so we follow along. You know, what are the things that we see right away in this first tabernacle, which is called the sanctuary? Well, take a look at it. It said there was the candlestick, the table, and the showbread. Now, I don't have time to go into all of that today. I just want to pick out a showbread. Now, from the very name, showbread, that tells you that it's out in the open. You know, it's a showbread. You know, put it out there. It's on display. So it's actually on display. Are you still with me, folks? So the showbread is on display. Okay, so take note of that. Now, verse 3. And after the second veil, there's another tabernacle which is called the holiest of all. Now, in this other tabernacle called the holiest of all, let's notice the things that are there. This one had the golden censer, the Ark of the Covenant overlaid around with gold, and inside it was the golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that budded and the tables of the covenant. So we see that in this second place, you know, there's a few more things, but it also had this manna that was hidden inside a golden pot. You know, so it wasn't exactly on display like the showbread. And not everybody could actually get to where this hidden manna was. Most of the other priests could get to the other showbread because it was out in the open. But only the high priest, and that once a year, could go beyond the second veil to this place called the holiest of all. And there was this thing called the manna that was hidden inside a golden pot. So talking about the showbread, which is on display, and then the hidden manna. So that's where we are going right now in this series, because, you know, we see that we are at the end of the age and people are not too aware of what the Lord is doing and the Word of God. Now, I look around and I see in Christendom, I mean, people know some general things. And it's like, you know, the showbread, you know, those are like the articles, I mean, the common articles of, you know, God's plan of redemption that everybody, you know, seems to know about. But, you know, and this is in symbolism, you know, but what about the hidden manna? You know, if there is a showbread, why is one called the showbread and why is the other one hidden in a golden pot that's all the way inside, you know, in the back there? There are symbolisms to all of this. Now, let me mention some things about symbolism as we go along. In the book of Hosea, chapter 12, and verse 10, and just right after the book of Daniel there, he says, I have spoken by the prophets, and I have multiplied visions, and I've used similitudes or symbolisms by the ministry of the prophets. Now, so this is how God does his thing. He uses the prophets, he brings symbols, he brings symbolisms and so on, you know, and all of these things. So, you know, and that's how God has spoken to us. And then we have to go back in and understand the things that God has spoken to us. Now, in the book of Acts chapter 13, we see from verse 1 that, you know, there was in the church that was at Antioch, we're told that there were certain prophets and teachers. Now, so the prophets and the teachers seemed like they were ministering together. Now, when God uses the symbolism and all of these things that he has used over time to express some things in the Word of God to us by the prophets, it's the responsibilities of the teachers to bring it up. You know, so we're going to bring out, you know, some of these things that God wants us to know, which are in the Word of God, which many people have just glossed over. You know, so this is a foundation. Now, but where we're headed is this. Let me go back to Hebrews 9. After that second tabernacle, which is called the holiest, then we see where it says, over all of that is the cherubims of glory, shadowing the mercy seat. And, you know, the writer here said, we cannot even speak particularly about that. There's something about that. We can't even go too deep into it, you know. So we see that this is the progression of what we're going to be bringing out. You know, we are coming from the showbread, which is in plain view to everybody, right? Then we're going, but we're headed for the mercy seat. That's where we're really going. Amen. Amen. Now, but before we get to the mercy seat, we have to have the hidden manna to get to the mercy seat. That's what's really going to prepare us for that translation to get to the mercy seat. Now, so for many, many years, people have had this showbread that's in Plainview, and that's all that people settle for, you know. But when it was secret, it was secret. The secret things belong to the Lord. But he even encourages us as kings. The Bible says in the book of Revelation chapter 1, that he's made us kings and priests. If we are kings, we're supposed to search out a matter, and we're going to be doing that. But if it is secret, and the Lord kept it secret, he did also say that there's nothing secret that shall not be revealed. And the things that I've told you in secret, you should speak it on the housetops. Amen? So there really isn't anything secret that's not going to be revealed, but, you know, he does it in his own time. But let's see what Apostle Paul said about it in Romans chapter 16. Now, I'm jumping all over the place because I'm trying to do a very quick summary in a few minutes. In Romans chapter 16, you know, let's see what Paul had to say about it in the Spirit. Romans chapter 16, let me start at verse 25. Now unto him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. There's some secret, you know, that God had kept since the world began. But now, at the end of the age, this secret is now being made manifest to us by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. Can you say amen? Amen. Now, the things that were secret before, by the grace of God, they are being revealed for us. They're preparing us through that hidden manner to approach the mercy seat. So we're coming from the showbread, which we've been having. Everybody plainly understands some things in the scriptures, salvation and all these things, the Holy Spirit and so forth. Then we are moving into the hidden manna, you know, which was hidden. But God has a way that he brings it out in preparation for our trip towards the mercy seat. Hallelujah. Now let's read what Peter had to say about, you know, some of these revelations. The book of 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Now remember, we're talking about a prophetic preparation, you know, as we go into the prophetic series for the coming of the Lord. But I just want to lay a foundation on the things that we should endear our hearts to learn. In the book of 1 Peter chapter 1, let me start at verse 10. It's talking about the salvation. Well, let me start from verse 9. Receiving the end of your faith, which is even the salvation of your souls. If I had more time, I would have read the whole chapter, you know, to give you a better context. But, you know, I don't have a lot of time. But we're talking about the end of your faith, not the beginning of your faith. Now, notice that. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 9. Talking about the end of your faith. So, you know, we're talking about, you know, we've been coming all along. You know, some of us have been saved from the Lord, with the Lord for many years and so forth. And we're waiting for the coming of the Lord. You know, but as we approach the end, now, the prophets have given us some of these things. Now, we're stepping into that hidden manner to reveal to us how we approach the end of our faith. Amen. Now, the end of our faith is the salvation of our souls. As it is written, it is not him that starts the race, but he that, you know, endures to the end. Now, of which salvation, listen to this. This salvation that we're talking about, this salvation, see, the prophets have inquired and searched diligently about this salvation. They have even prophesied unto us of the grace that should come unto you at the end. Searching what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when they testified afore time concerning the sufferings of Christ, which, and the glory which should follow. unto whom it was revealed, all these prophets. Now remember, God said in Hosea that he brings his word through the prophets and uses symbolisms and so on. Now, many of these prophets have given us these things, you know, but where Peter is telling us here that even these prophets that were telling us some of these things, they themselves knew, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, even though they were the ones that were giving the word of God and giving it to us, they knew that it was not unto themselves, but unto us that they did minister those things, which are now reported unto you by them which have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Now that is some hidden stuff. When even the angels are trying to figure it out. You know, these are things, this is not the showbread now. We're moving past the showbread. Showbread is in plain view. Now, because of lack of time today, I don't have time to really dig in. I was going to dig into that showbread and the hidden manner and so forth, but I'm going to just summarize it. But we're moving beyond that now. We're going into something deeper. You know, we moved from that first tabernacle. We're going behind the veil now. Amen. And we're going to get a hold of that hidden manner now. Amen. Now, there are some people that will not come along for that ride. You know, and there are so many things that can keep people out. Like, oh, you're not entitled and so forth like that. You know, that's one doctrine that we're going to find out when we start going to the book of Revelation. It's called the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. You know, where they are not, you know, divide and conquer and make sure that people don't get anywhere close to God. But if you look into the story of David, Jesus himself told the story. He said, have you never read what David did in the days of Abiathar the priest? How he went to the house of God and did take of the showbread. Now, he didn't go into exactly the hidden manner, but he did take of the showbread. The showbread, which at the time for them was not lawful for them to eat, except for the priests. And not only did he take it, he also gave it to his followers. Amen. He would not be denied. Even though, you know, some other person would have said, well, you know, that's only for the priests. But David, he pressed forward and pierced beyond his time. And we see that there are many people that have pierced beyond their time. There was a story of a Syrophoenician woman that pierced beyond her time. You know, when she had a child that was grievously sick, she came to Jesus for healing, and Jesus just ignored her. And he said, well, you know, and she kept bothering him. She said, look, I can't take the children's bread and give it to dogs. I mean, the Lord was just pulling out something from her to see what she would say. And this woman pierced beyond her time. She said, well, that's true. I mean, children may eat some stuff, but even dogs will eat some stuff too. Amen. Even dogs will get crumbs too that fall from the table. So she pierced. Because Jesus said, well, I'm not sent unto anybody but the house of Israel right now. And she said, well, I may not be of the house of Israel right now, but I'm going to get some crumbs. Amen. Now, how much more those of us who have been grafted in? You know, we better get everything that God has for us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, my people perish for lack of knowledge. You know, the things that are revealed unto us, and you know, some people still don't even want to know about it. You know, and they say, well, I don't want to know about that stuff. Well, when are you going to know about it? Is it when we get to heaven? You know, let me tell you something. In the book of John, chapter 1, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, and verse 14. The Bible says that Jesus was made flesh and he dwelt among us. Now, there's something, you know, it's like, you know, Jesus is always doing something and it may be like, you know, he shows us something else. For instance, in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9, we're told that ye yourselves, I'm going to come back to this John 1:14, but I want to use that other verse to explain it. 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 says, ye yourselves know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty may become rich. So we see that What Jesus is doing, he's typing something that we must also get into. You know. Now, when Jesus, the Word, became flesh, then we who were born in the flesh must become the Word bride in order for us to even approach unto the end where he wants us to be. Amen. Now, he was the Word and he became flesh, but we must also become the Word. You know, because that's what it is all about, for the hidden manna. It's supposed to bring us into that divine nature. But you see, if you couldn't even handle the showbread, how are you going to handle the hidden manna? You know, and so forth. Jesus said it in Mark chapter 4. He began to tell them, he said, look, take heed how you hear. Because the person that hears and does well with what they hear shall receive even more. But those that didn't do well with the little that they heard initially, they won't even get any more. So take heed how you hear. And the things that you have heard, take heed lest you let them slip. Now, so having said all of that, you know, that's just like a bit of a taster for you to see what God has in store for us. Now, there are many things that are hidden in this Bible that God wants us to search out. But there are some things also that are put in plain view, but because they are put in symbolism, people don't understand or they stumble over it. Like the book of Revelation, for instance. It's full of symbolism, and people don't understand it and they stumble over it. You know, but we're going to make it plain. The Bible says, make the vision plain. Amen. That he may run that readeth it. You know, we got to make it plain. That's the book of, you know, Habakkuk, chapter 2. And we have to make the vision plain. You know, so there's something, the vision of John on the Isle of Patmos, you know, that God gave to him to show to his servants the things that must surely come to pass. It is now time to make it plain. We got to make it plain. And there's a blessing just for reading it and for hearing it. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 1. Now, there's a misnomer about this book that people say it's the book of the Revelation of John. Well, maybe John wrote it, but it is about Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ. That's how it is introduced. So it's about Jesus Christ. The revelation of Jesus Christ, not the revelation of John exactly. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, Jesus, to show unto his servants, not to hide, but to show. Amen? That's right. To show unto his servants the things which must shortly come to pass. He's not hiding it from us anymore. He's showing them to us. And he sent and signified it by his angel to the hand of his servant John. And then John wrote all these things. So we see that the purpose of this book is to show, not to hide. Now, and John bore record of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ and all the things that he saw. Now, listen to verse 3 of Revelation 1. There's a blessing. You know, we know that there's a blessing in reading the word of God, any part of the word of God. But this book especially, God laid a blessing smack down upon it just for reading it or for hearing what it's all about. Listen to this. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Amen. So if you don't know what's written therein, how are you going to keep the things? But that's what our job is to reveal the things that are written therein so that we may keep those things that God wants us to keep. Now, as we approach into the hidden manna, there is a book of all books in this Bible. Not the Bible itself, but the Bible talks about another book, you know. And in the book of Revelation chapter 5, we'll get to that when we get to the detailed study of the book of Revelation. But since this is a preamble, so to speak, let me just quickly talk about it. In the book of Revelation chapter 5, John, he saw in the right hand of him, Revelation 5 and 1, I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne. Amen. A book that is written within. And on the back side of the book, there are seven seals. Now, why? What is so important on the, in this book that God had to seal it with seven seals? One seal is enough to keep the devil out. Amen. Bible said, Jesus said it himself, I'm he that shutteth and no man can open. If he put one seal on it, nobody can open it anyway. So why did he need to put seven seals on it? We're going to get to that. Amen. Now, when John saw this book, it caught his attention. And as he was thinking about it, he heard a voice that says, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And he heard that proclamation. And John, you know, John was looking around to wait to see somebody step forward. Now, but there was no man found in heaven, nor in the earth, neither under the earth, that was able to open the book, neither to look thereupon. Now, there was nobody found. Well, let me tell you some great people in this Bible that should have stepped forward. Somebody like Moses, he had an encounter with the pillar of fire. I mean, he was so close to the burning bush. In fact, he was in the glory cloud for 40 days and 40 nights. And God spoke to him face to face. He heard God's voice, you know. And he had a relationship with God, you know. And in fact, when he came down from that mount, his face was transformed. The glory of God was upon him and so forth. I mean, this was a man that transcended beyond his time into an area which nobody else had ever known. But he went in there. Well, with all of that, where was Moses? Why couldn't he step forward? What about Elijah? You know, I mean, this man, he went in the chariots of fire. Hallelujah. I mean, this man, I mean, he had like, I mean, he heard a still small voice. I mean, he could do all kinds of things and so forth. I mean, he went in the chariots of fire until this day. This man is in the presence of God. He hasn't died. You know, why couldn't he step forward and take this book? I mean, all these great people that are in the Bible. How couldn't any of them step forward and take the book? Well, even some of the apostles and even John himself that was here. Why couldn't he step forward and take the book? You know, and then John began to weep because there was nobody found. Now, let me tell you something about this weeping. This weeping is a symbolic representation of what happens to the world if they don't hear the contents of that book. I'm going to repeat that. Because many people didn't think about that before. Just said, well, he was just weeping because nobody could open the book. No. There was something written in that book and it must be read. But because nobody could open the seals to even look upon the book or open it or read it, John began to weep. And this weeping is the state of the world today unless the book is revealed and the contents are read. Amen. People will still be weeping. But there's good news. Hallelujah. And I wept much because there was no man found worthy to open the book and to read it. Well, a book is meant to be read. Amen. Hello, people. A book is meant to be read. So there was nobody found worthy to open this book and to read it or to even look thereupon. And while he was wondering and crying about it, one of the elders stepped forward and said, weep not. Amen. Behold the lion of the tribe of Judah. He has prevailed. He has prevailed to open the book. Now it was like there was a contest. Notice the words are not in vain. Every word that God uses here in this symbolism, they're not in vain. There was a contest. You know, this lion of the tribe of Judah, whoever this figure was, he has prevailed. Nobody else could do it. But this one figure has prevailed. And he said, not only to open the book, but to loose the seals thereof. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, when John turned around to look for this lion of the tribe of Judah, he saw a lamb. Oh my, what a paradox. Looking for a lion, but saw a bloody lamb, as though it had been slain. from the foundation of the world, just bloody lamb. But that's exactly the way that he prevailed. Amen. The road to Christ's victory was through his sufferings. That's what we read in 1 Peter chapter 1. That the prophets prophesied about the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should be revealed. And people didn't understand. Even angels, they didn't understand what's that all about. But there's something that's contained in that book which Christ had to pay for. Jesus said it himself. The kingdom of God is like a man that found treasure. And he went and sold everything that he had in order to purchase that field. And did Jesus ever purchase that field? Amen. He got that gold, boy. He did. And that's why you're sitting here today. Give the Lord a hand clap for that. Praise the Lord. It was a contest. One time he prayed for you until blood was coming out of his brows. He prayed for you. And he got you too. And he said, I will lose none of them. All that the Father has given me, I will raise them up at the last day. And nobody can snatch them from my hand or from my Father's hand. Because the Father who gave them to me is greater than all. And I will lose none of them. Hallelujah. He looked at everybody else that wasn't there yet. You know, because he only had a few disciples and he was looking to the tribe of the Jews and so forth. But he looked down through the ages unto you that are sitting here today. And he said, other sheep I have that are not yet of this fold, them also must I bring. And there will be one shepherd and one fold. Can you say praise the Lord for that? And he prevailed. He went down to hell. He whooped that devil. That was a great contest, boy. But he whooped that devil from pillar to post. I mean, he really gave him a whooping. I don't want to use another word. Yeah, he really kicked his butt, you know. And he whooped that devil. And having done whooping him, the Bible says he made an open show of principalities and powers. Hallelujah. He finished the devil. And then he came out and said, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Now there was a contest, boy. The devil wanted to keep him down in the grave. He said, pull the stones over him and so forth like that. Put the soldiers around him. Make sure that his disciples don't come and steal. But the grave could not keep him down. The stones cannot keep him down. Hallelujah. He blasted out of that grave, boy. And he said, why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here. Hallelujah. And when he did, he got the keys of hell and death from the devil. The devil got those keys all along. But the Lord said, there's a new sheriff in time. Amen. Hallelujah. That's a new sheriff in town. And he took the keys of hell and death from him. And he said, one day, he showed the devil his end. And I love this book of Revelation because it shows the end of the devil. And he doesn't like it when we talk about these kind of things, but that's his problem. He's going to hell. Amen. Hallelujah. The devil, he knows where he's going, but he wants to take as many people with him as possible. Well, that's not your portion in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going higher. We're not going lower. Amen. So, that's it. There is that book. Now, remember, when this shadowy figure, he stepped out. You know, we're not told that he read the book. We're not told anything about that. You know, he didn't need to read the book. You are the one that need to read the book. Hello? A book must be read. But he did not read the book. All he did was lose the seals. And certain things began to happen. But there are some contents of that book that must be read. Hallelujah. Because a book must be read. Amen. And we are the generation. Oh, yes. Because at the end of the age, he told Daniel, seal up the things until the end of the age. Well, there were even some things that John heard when the seven thunders uttered. He said, seal them up, don't write them, and so forth. But then he said at the beginning of the book of Revelation that the purpose of this book of Revelation was to show to his servants, not to hide anything from them, but to show to his servants. And he himself said, there is nothing secret that shall not be made known. Amen. And anything that I told you in secret before, which I told you to hide, shout on the housetop, sir. That's what happens at the end of the age. So we're coming into that. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, lastly, in this introduction, I want to tell you that there's different kinds of prophecies. There is what we call event-based prophecy, and that's what we also call time-based prophecy. Now, people get confused about these things. So when we go into this series, we're going to be bringing out the differences. Some prophecies are based on events. Some are based by time. And then some prophecies have dual meaning and dual representation and so on and so forth. So we're going to be bringing these things out. You know, and then there are some prophecies, you know, that, you know, God put it out there. Of course, the things, the prophecies that have to do with, you know, just, you know, maybe time and space and so on, you know, those are lesser prophecies than the ones that have to do with God's eternal purpose. The prophecies that have to do with God's eternal purpose, they are forever settled. They are there. There's nothing anybody can do about it. Amen. Now, there are some other prophecies that are, you know, time and space and so forth, which God have made provision that, you know, you might be able to change by one way or the other. It's kind of like the prophecy of Isaiah to the King Hezekiah. Thus saith the Lord, set your house in order. You're going to die. You're not going to recover from this illness. And so forth like that. Well, it was surely from the Lord. But Hezekiah got in under the cloud of prayer. And he got a hold of the Lord. And he said, Lord, you know how I have sought the Lord all my life. And you have said that we should not seek you in vain. And he began to weep so. And he got a hold of the Lord. And the Lord turned that thing around. Amen. Praise the Lord. But there are some prophecies that are not going to be turned around. They are part of God's eternal purpose. And we're going to be going into that to make sure that we understand it and we are positioned in the right place to receive all the benefits that God wants to give us at the end of the age. We're going to be talking about dual prophecies that have dual fulfillment throughout the scriptures. I don't have time to go into that right now. We're going to be talking about that. And we're going to be talking about what we need to understand the book of Revelation. Let me close by saying that the book of Revelation is almost completely written in symbols. And according to what God said in Hosea chapter 12 and verse 10, he speaks in symbolism. We need also to understand symbols. Now, the secret to understanding Bible prophecy is as follows. Take the prophecy literally to start with. Just the way it is. Don't try to make any ism out of it. Just take it the way it is. Now, unless it looks for sure that the prophecy is written in symbols. Now, if it is written in symbols, then look within the prophecy itself for the meaning of the symbols. You know, and now not every symbol means the same thing from one prophecy to another, but within the same prophecy, there is a consistent use of symbols that God will use. So we're going to be talking about that, you know, but we must look to the prophecy itself first. And if we can't find it, then we look to other parts of the Word of God. For no prophecy of the scripture is by private interpretation. We cannot do private interpretation to understand prophecy of the scripture. But these prophecies were given by inspiration of God to men of God, given to us today. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. There is a ride that we must take. The chariots are now preparing. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And when it is done, I'm going to come again and receive you to myself. Now, the chariots of fire are preparing to launch forth one more trip. Gather forth the people of God. Amen. But there is some preparation that we must do. There is a washing of regeneration by the word. And the renewing of the Holy Spirit that must take place. You know, that's the real word of God must come forth. The hidden manna must come forth. You know, but God has said it already. You know, God is now putting into the hearts of some holy inquirers and loving seekers. They're going to want to know about the things of God. And the deep calleth unto the deep, folks. Hallelujah. Now, if you're not very deep, or you don't care about the deep things of God, well, there's nothing shallow about God anyway. But if you don't care about the things of God, you know, then you're not going to care about the things which God has given us in the scriptures. But I tell you something, the devil knows this word. So you better know the word. Amen. Don't ever let the devil know the scripture more than you, because he'll pull a fast one over your eyes. Let's stand to our feet here this morning. Today, on account of the time, I just went in that direction. I had a more detailed study to do to bring to us the showbread and the hidden manna and the understanding of Bible prophecy as we move forward. But I'll leave it like that for now. When we pick it up by the grace of God next time, we're going to go deeper. Hallelujah. Now, if you want to go deeper, come along for the ride. Now, if you don't care anything, you can stay on the water's edge. Amen. Amen, folks. It's like Ezekiel's vision. You can stay where the water is only down to your ankle. Stay there all the time. Or you can plunge in and get the waters down to your knees or up to your knees. And then you can stay in that place. Or you can keep moving and get the waters down up to your hips. Ezekiel 47. I'll keep moving. And you can keep moving until the waters that cannot be waded in. You have to swim. It's way over your head. You know, but it's the deep calling unto the deep. Praise the Lord. Now, the things that God has given unto us, we must learn these things. These things are not for angels. Even angels are desiring to look into these things. And they will learn some of these things through the church, the Bible tells us. But they're desiring to look into these things. But the people of God to whom these things have been given, they have no hunger. They have no thirst for any of the things of God. Why? Because iniquity has abounded all over the place. So the love of many have grown cold. People love television. People love social media. People love all these things, you know, more than the word of God today. But those things will not get you out of here. In fact, they are like excess baggage that may keep you here. Where the day of your flight arrives, or the flight, what will you be caught doing? Social media, Facebook, or whatever, you know, and so forth like that. Or will you be found wrapped in the word of God? Now lift up your hands and we're going to pray. I'm going to ask the Lord to inspire in our hearts a yearning for the word of God. Because the deep calls unto the deep. Now if you yearn and you really, really want to hear some stuff, then the Lord's going to really bring some stuff. Amen? Amen? And take heed, saith the Lord, how you hear. For he that hath shall be given more. And to him that hath not, even that which he seemeth to have, shall be taken from him. Therefore take heed how you hear. Father Lord, I pray today that you inspire our hearts with a revelation, with a desire for the things of God. Hallelujah. Give us that hunger and thirst. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. For they shall be filled, saith the Lord. Give us that hunger and that thirsting after that hidden manna. Hallelujah. In the mighty name of Jesus. As we prepare to approach the throne of mercy and the mercy seat. Lord, we thank you. We give you all the praise and glory. Now, all the elements that may keep us from this word, which are the things of this world. The Bible says, take heed lest your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and this and that and running after this and that. The cares of this life choke the word of God out from that parable of the sower that fell on the stones and the rocks and so on. And the thorns. But may you be that fertile soil into which when the word of God falls, brings forth seed and fruit, 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. Amen. And don't settle for 30-fold when you can get 60. Why even settle for 60 when you can get 100? Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Let's give our Lord a big round hand clap here today. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen and amen. Now, that's a little bit different. You may be seated. That's a little bit different. And we preach on faith and exciting messages all the time. Check it out on the website. But we are going into this series, folks. You know, there's enough faith messages on our website to last you 4 years if you listen to it every single day. You know, so, but now we're going into this thing. Because, you know, people are not aware of their surroundings and what's going on. So we're going to make sure that, you know, the Lord is calling for the time. And he said, I've set watchmen upon their posts. And they must tell the people what's going on. And that's what we're going to be doing. So don't miss any service. And when we bring these teachings, we'll continue next week by the grace of God. You know, maybe it'll be Revelation, the book of Revelation, part one. And then we go in deeper as we go into that and see what God is telling. Why did God give all these messages to the churches? We're going to find out what he's telling us to get ready. He that hath an ear, let him do what? Let him hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the churches. And so you need to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the churches. Praise the name of the Lord. Let's give the Lord a big hand clap again. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen.